Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new unicorn, Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS.
Hey, it's Molly, and the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is officially my gift of the year. Gift one or get one for yourself. The DrinkWorks Home Bar makes over 30 bar-quality cocktails literally at the push of a button. Check it out at drinkworks.com and see all available drinks like the all-new Top Shelf Collection featuring Gentleman Jack Manhattans and Chambord French Martinis. Oh, so good. The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is my gift of the year. Visit drinkworks.com today. Cheers.
Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. used under license. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new unicorn. Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The
Score! It's like a saying my mom used to say, it must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
Never stop gronking, Gronk, even though we know that those lines were planted by the Jimmy Fallon show. We found out later as part of a bit that included Allen Robinson and Dalvin Cook and others. Thanks to our guests today, Mark Deeks and Mike Florio and Hub Arkish. Thanks to Brian Gertsch for handling our Twitch video feed, which is still on, by the way. It just now includes Lawrence Holmes on it at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Jay Zawoski, our executive producer. Ray Diaz, the executioner on the board, doing his things. And Layla, thank you, as always, for hanging out on Wednesdays.
Good show, especially when Lawrence and I are both fist-pumping to Tipsy, which Ray Diaz played earlier after playing Shots by LMFAO.
Well, Lawrence sent out a cryptic tweet, and he's got to pay it off here. That what did you say? There's a geek meet sports grievance?
Yeah, you know I try to walk that line between my geek brain and my sports brain, and sometimes when I see stuff where I'm like, oh, I see what you were trying to do, but it's not what you were supposed to be doing because you didn't have the right. Like someone tried to, I'll just get to it. Sam Smith, who I adore, who's great. I was looking at Sam's mock draft because I'm going to have Cody Westerlin on at 12:40, and we're going to talk about the draft. So I'm scrolling down to see who he's thinking the Bulls end up picking if they don't make a trade. And then I was looking for the guy that I really like in this draft, Obi Toppin, right? So here is Sam's description of Obi Toppin. They supposedly really want Avdija, so perhaps the Bulls could make one pick swap as they did with the Cavs in 2000 when the Bulls selected Chris Mim, number 7, and then traded him to Cleveland for Jamal Crawford at number 8 to basically save that draft, which included 5 bust picks for the Bulls. It's too conventional to guess Toppin, who played in Ohio, though it's finally time the NBA had an Obi, he being the one. O-N-E.
Oh, instead of the Wan.
Correct. His name is Obi-Wan Kenobi, not Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he capitalized it, too. So that I got beef with Sam Smith right now.
Yeah, that's bad execution right there.
That's bad.
It'd be the Wan.
And then, like, if you wanted to do the play on words, fine, make it one. But then don't capitalize it like you got his name right, because you got his name wrong. That's not that man's name, and he should be fined severely for that.
Well, or an editor should catch that. That's the kind of thing where yes. if I write a stupid joke and then I get a call from Cody Westerlund, is like, help me understand what you're doing here. Like, you want to take it out, just take it out. I said, no, just help me understand it. And sometimes he leaves it in and sometimes he doesn't. But that's an editor's job to say, are you sure this is where we want to go with this?
Just saying, you don't have to capitalize the one when that's not how that man's name is. That's not even close. In fact, only the N is the only letter that's in that man's name, and you messed it up, and then capitalized the O like it's that man's name. His name is Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's it.
This is
not Obi-Wan, not C-3PO, or you know, doing that. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, how are you then with the different ways 3PO is written? Because even though it is literally 3PO, we do see it often written out as T-H-R-E-E-P-I-O. Is that okay?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm all right with that. But it's not
really
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, because in crossword puzzles, you often see crossword puzzles, you will see A-R-T-O-O. Or D-E-T-O-O written out, or, you know, droid name.
No, droids are with numbers. No,
yeah, the droids are with numbers. I was so happy.
This is not broadcast copy.
I'm going to try not to spoil this for the people that haven't caught up yet. Well, you know what? I won't. All I'm going to say is that there is a significant figure in recent sci-fi that popped up on The Mandalorian this week. And I was cheering loudly when I saw this person enter the screen. Because they're one of my favorite sci-fi actors over the last 15 years. I'm really in my geek stuff right now. I'm really in my geek stuff because between that and watching The Queen's Gambit this past weekend, I played 5 games of chess last night.
Isn't your dad a star, like an actual, like,
he's
verified?
He's a master, yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's, you know, I beat him the last time we played, because I made sure that it was going to be the last time we played. Like, because I wasn't going to take that butt whooping that I was going to get the next time. So my mom actually took a picture of the board when I won. And wow. I was like, that's it. Grand opening, grand closing. So I think my record against my dad is something like 2-598, something like that. But I got that last win, and then I was like, I declared our series over.
You kicked the board over at that point.
I ran out the room.
Again, right?
So that's it. So yeah, we're never playing again. But I've been slacking on my chess stuff, and watching The Queen's Gambit like really inspired me to like get back into it. And it's weird because I brought it up on Saturday. I was talking on Twitter about, you know, how, like, when my dad explains chess, like, I don't get it because he's just one of those. And it's why I want him and my mom to watch that series, because I think that he would appreciate it even more than I did, because his brain works like that, where I'm sitting there going, if you gave me 20 minutes, I could probably figure some of this stuff out. But that's not how chess works when you're playing in these tournaments. And the people that can see, like the virtuosos in chess, the people that can see 4, 5, 10 moves ahead, like I've been more jealous of those people than the greatest athletes that I've ever covered. Like that to me is something that I have always envied, is people whose intelligence and their spatial awareness with the pieces, it transcends anything that those of us who can study and study and study. So like now I've decided that there's a particular opening in chess that I am just going to focus on, like for the next few months. Like I'm just going to play that way with all of my games and then adjust off of it. But my dad once, so he probably didn't even remember this. He told me once, he's like, well, you could play whatever style you want and I'm going to adjust to it. And it was like the most ominous thing that I ever heard, because I'm just sitting there like, well, then what am I supposed to do? Like, and I don't think this was like a psych out move. Like, I don't think that he was trying to get me off of my game. He was just stating the fact, go ahead and play what you want to. You want to open with Queen's Gambit? Go right ahead and do all that cute stuff that you're going to do. And then when I ask him to explain it, he goes, oh, you just move the pieces. Like, it's, mm-hmm. and it's like, that doesn't help me. Like, I can't see it that way. So I've been in my geek thing like for a while. And if you haven't checked out Queen's Gambit on Netflix, Dan, you're not really a chess player. Like, you can play,
no, I'm
but
not,
you don't
just,
really
not at all.
Play,
I know
right?
the rules. I know I could play a game pursuant to the rules, but I never really learned it. No,
I think you would dig it. The performances are really, really strong. And Layla, considering what you've gone through in this industry, I think that you would also dig The Queen's Gambit.
It's about unemployment?
No. Well, I mean, actually, there is an element of that in there. But the story is around this female chess champion and, like, her life and what her life is like going through all of these tournaments. And it's kind of loosely based on a bunch of different women's experiences inside the chess world. But it's phenomenal. It was one of those things where I got the recommendation on it, and I was like, okay, let me watch an episode on Saturday because college football was so bad. And then I finished it by Sunday morning. Like, I binged the hell out of it because it was so good.
I will say that Garry Kasparov is a great, he's great on Twitter. He's got a lot of thoughts. He's a brilliant guy. But the chess champion Garry Kasparov is at Kasparov63, and because of his experience going through what he's gone through and having lived where he's lived, some of his thoughts on what's happening in the world in general are really valuable.
He's been talking a lot about this series too on a couple of different podcasts, and he's been interviewed on it. So it connects a lot of things, and it's kind of based inside the late 50s and early 60s. So it's from a style standpoint, it's kind of cool too. And I mean, I'm sure it'll get a ton of awards, and it should. It was like a limited series. I think it's 7 episodes, but I think you both would enjoy it.
Who do you want
it
the Bulls to take?
Really cool.
Yeah. Obi-Wan. No, Toppin. No, I'm not sure. I'm waiting for Cody at 12:40 to kind of help me figure out all of this stuff, because I want to know, are they going to go ahead and, because there have been rumors, right, that they were thinking about trading Wendell Carter Jr. and moving up to number 2. And
yeah, Mark Deeks kind of, he reined on that one. He thinks that's a leak out of Golden State.
I wouldn't be surprised, because I don't think that there are any players that helps Golden State right now. And do you want to deal with LaMelo?
Sure.
I'm
he's
fine
good.
With LaMelo. It's LaVar I'm concerned about.
He's part of the deal. Like, that's
although
that's part
did
of
you
the
ever
deal.
Hear my pitch? Did you ever pitch my or hear my pitch for the ball, if you will? That you give LaVar like a midnight show on like NBC
the score?
Sports Chicago or like or the score and just
he's
leave
not
him be.
Taking my
and
show.
That's the pitch. Like, you remember when all these NBA teams
we
were
the
pitching
Bulls
athletes, like,
yep,
yes, like Dwight Howard got like a pitch for his own show, and like this was a big thing a few years ago. Like, cool, give him the mic for an hour at like midnight on a Friday, leave him be, let the dog hunt.
I mean, it wouldn't be unprecedented at the score.
You two,
Ozzie Jr. had a show,
scared eyes.
Yeah, we used to put Joe Kane on. You know, Ozzy had a show. We could.
Joe Kane.
Remember Joe Kane? Somebody pick up the phone. I need a phone call. Everybody out there, please. Right?
Joe Kane was an example to, was an abject lesson to everyone who thinks that sports radio is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You turn the microphone on, and then you ask people to call, and then they don't, and then you're sitting there. Then what do you do?
I need a phone call. Somebody bail me out. Yeah, and selfishly, obviously you want LaVar Ball here. People who do what we do, you know, why would we not?
He's been reined in, man. The last couple of years, he's not the same dude.
Well, that's because his son's not that good. Well, I mean, he's good. He's a good player, but he wasn't as good as LaVar thought he was going to be.
It's also because the Big Baller brand was a joke. He was charging $400 for something that kept falling apart.
Gentlemen, has 2020 taught you nothing about the grift? Come on.
It wasn't That's a successful true. Grift, though. I mean, nobody bought him.
I mean, a lot of people bought him, Dan, and they never got him.
Well,
they bought him. They paid for him.
I guess
and
that's
they
part
never
of
got him.
Yeah.
And some people got them in the wrong size, and some people got the wrong shoe, but they definitely paid for them.
Yeah, I don't think it was enough to support them. I don't know if they officially declared bankruptcy, but there weren't a whole lot of assets left of big baller brand. So maybe that's without that to flog, he didn't have to be the sort of the carnival barker that he had been, and just getting his name out there so he could wear his BBB shirts and hats. So I don't know. I just think he's a really good basketball player, and he sees the floor in ways that others don't. And they say the same thing about Denny Avdija, and no, I'm open to anything. I'm gonna be open minded and optimistic because Jim Boylan's fired.
You've got to let the Jim Boylan thing go, Dan.
No, that's my point of joy. I can't let it's not negative. It's the opposite. I don't want to let it go because it makes me so happy. It's one thing if I were it's not some dark grudge. It's like, oh, I never liked that guy.
No, I know it's not a grudge. I'm just saying that we got the happy. And the joy, I'm ready to act as if that era of Bulls basketball didn't happen. I'm ready to just move on to the next thing, the next part of Bulls. Like, it's almost like when a TV show gets a year too long to be on the air, and the end is just like, who was it, Oliver, the kid Oliver that they brought in on Different Strokes? Like, now Mr. Drummond's married to Dixie Carter, and there's some redhead kid yelling, what you talking about, Arnold? Like, that's what I'm talking about with the Bulls. You just want to forget. Or the Tory years on Saved by the Bell.
Oliver was the cousin on the Brady Bunch, right?
Sam, all right, yeah, Sam, that's who I'm thinking of. Not Oliver, you're right.
Same
thing. Oliver was the cousin. Sam, same thing. Or when Tori was on Saved by the Bell. No one acknowledges that that's canon when it comes to Saved by the Bell. They just go, that didn't happen. She was never here.
Yeah, that's like, nope. That's my equivalent
of college years.
Yeah, Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame.
Terrible. Oh, don't see.
Oh,
why you got to drive us right to negative town?
No, but I'm just saying.
Do you guys realize?
Everybody agrees. You talk to Jay Jaffe. Everybody agrees. Like, yeah, we kind of don't talk about that.
I said, has 2020 taught you nothing about the grift? And then we just named some kind of grifty things.
Yeah, we did.
I'm not going to diagram them all specifically, but this conversation got really meta all of a sudden.
It did. And I love
Harold
you guys
Baines,
way
so I'm not,
too
I'm
long.
I'm not hating on him.
So I apologize for that. All you guys right. Have a wonderful day.
See ya.
Layla, it's great to see you as always. Dan, you all right? Herbie, we got a lot of work to do and not a lot of time to do it. This hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You're kind of known for doing these incredible in-ring interviews with guys after fights. And it's an intimidating environment overall. And anyone that's actually covered a big-time fight can tell you what the energy is like there. In these moments, whether you're talking to Mike Tyson or you're talking to Adrian Broner, like how are you able to stay as calm and as laser focused?
I mean, I've never thought that any of them were going to do anything, you know, that would put my physical well-being in jeopardy. So I've never had that fear. And sometimes I look back at the tape and I thought, wow, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. That guy could have smacked me, but they didn't. But I really never had that feeling while it was going on. Look, Mike Tyson one time, Lawrence, he threatened to kill me live on the air. Said, I'll kill you, and I'll kill Don King. And he had that look, and he was serious. And then 45 seconds later, he kissed me on my cheek. And let me tell you, that was far more disturbing.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Man, let me tell you, the stories that Jim Gray told us yesterday, I'm gonna make it a standalone inside LoHo Daily because not enough people were focused on that interview. That interview was amazing yesterday, but there was so much news. The Bears had embarrassed themselves on Monday Night Football. You had Theo stepping down from the Cubs, but Herbie picked the right cut. The cut of, yes, that they didn't mean me any harm, but that guy did threaten to kill me once. It was a great interview. Go get his book. He wrote a goat book, Conversations with Goats. You should go get it. It's interesting for sure. Unfortunately, as we start the show off, I have to take a break because I had so much fun with Layla and Dan that we kind of ate up the first segment of the show, which is sometimes the idea of transition, that if we have a good conversation, we should just let it ride and not work to try to get to things.